and welcome to the WW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by my buddy, Peter Ponocorvo. Pete, how you doing today?
Good, Chris. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Pete, so just me and you again, our third, how should we say this, our third host just landed, but she's going to be in transit back to Mantino, and I know she's going to be dog tired from her European vacation. So it's just me and you tonight, buddy.
It's, I got to say, hard to feel sorry for her, though, honestly.
Right? Well, then again, she's been on the plane for the last 9 hours or so, maybe longer.
So I still don't have a violin small enough to play for her right now, though.
Sorry, Laura, I'm trying. He's not biting. So before we start, Pete, I got a question for you, and it's not really a poll, it's a question. It's going to talk about our topic today. So let me present you three scenarios, and you tell me what's most appealing to least appealing, okay?
Okay.
You got Walt Disney World in the summertime, in the heat. You've got Walt Disney World in the wintertime with the moderate cold. Or you've got Walt Disney World in the springtime where it's unpredictable. A little bit of cold, a little bit of summer.
For me,
yeah,
I'm doing the winter, the spring, and then the summer.
You know what? I probably agree with you on all those, and that'd probably be in order. Why is that, Pete?
Well, in the winter, you have all the holiday stuff.
Okay.
And generally, I can go down there in October, November, even early December. Shorts, t-shirt during the day, throw on a sweatshirt or a light jacket at night, and you're still good. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, I understand there have been times where they will get these freak cold snaps, and it will almost be like it is here in October, which means, like, jeans and a sweatshirt and a light jacket, but it's still not December or January in Chicago.
Okay. You know what? When I hear you say that, I'm going to put a picture on Facebook. I've got a picture when me and my wife were just newly married. We're down there, and this is not a joke. We're riding the riverboat, eating Dole Whips with all of the possible clothing we can get on, and there are snowflakes falling. And that's a true story. There was snow in Florida, and though nothing accumulated, there were snowflakes falling. It was that cold. So it can get a little colder than October, but not a whole heck of a lot, that's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, and we've had snow in October. We've had snow in May up here, yeah. So.
And I'm making a note right now to post that picture because I want people to see it. It's pretty comical, so. But, hey, before we start our show today, which is going to actually talk about the extreme heat in Florida, I wanted to send some thank yous and some shout-outs to people. So I don't know if you wanted to go, you want to start off, big guy?
Well, yeah. Actually, I wanted to give Trent and Jenny over at the Disney DNA podcast a big shout-out for having us on. I think their show's going to be coming out early this week, today, tomorrow, yeah. Something like that. We had a blast recording with them. You guys... Really, if you don't listen, check them out. They're really cool people, and I look forward to having them on our show and maybe being on theirs again.
You know what I like best about them, Pete? They are 100% genuine. You know, who you see on the air and who we talk to and who we communicate with is the exact same person. So we try to be non-pretentious. We try to be as genuine as it gets, and I love them for the same reason. So they are pretty cool along those lines, that's for sure. Wanted to send a shout-out and a thank you to Paul Clifton, too, from across the pond. Paul sent us a really nice message regarding our Orlando Strong show. So we do appreciate the support, Paul, and I appreciate your kind words. So thank you, and keep the feedback coming and tell us what you like and what you don't like. We always appreciate that.
Hey, you realize that's our first known international downloader, right?
Well, that our first known to respond back to us?
Yeah.
Yes. Paul, you're the man. Send me a message. Let me know. Just so I can prove to Peter that it wasn't a one-time fluke. So, yeah, cool. And if you are across the pond in either direction listening to the show, send us a shout-out. Let us know where you're listening from. That'd be really neat. Even Pete and I were commenting that it still astounds us that people across the ocean in either direction actually would even tune in or even care to what Pete and I have to say. So we certainly appreciate that, and we love connecting with you guys. So let's get to a little more serious topic today. we wanted to talk about visiting Walt Disney World and Florida in general in the extreme heat. And, you know, much of the country right now is going through this brutal heat wave. We're 90-plus all across the country. Trent and Jenny in Louisiana are at 95 with high humidity every day, which is, I guess, at this point in the year, pretty much normal for them. Florida's in the mid to high 90s every day with high humidity. Heck, even Chicago, Pete, we've been in the low 90s with high humidity. So this weather is going to be really dangerous for people, especially when you're considering you're outside in the vacation capital of the world for 12 to 14 to 16 hours in some cases a day. So we wanted to talk about our best tips, not for visiting Walt Disney World, but for managing the extreme weather and the extreme heat of Florida in the summertime. So I guess we should start off first things first, Pete. Let's talk about this medically. Huh? What could happen? There's a couple things that could occur to the human body when you're outside that long. And, you know, thank goodness I've got you on the show because you're my medical professional.
Well, generally, there's looked at it as two different things. You've got heat exhaustion, which is a little more minor, you know, easier to recover from, and then heat stroke. Heat stroke is a very serious thing. Generally, if you start suffering from heat stroke, you should really be seen by an ER physician or a doctor of some type. You know, even if it's going to the medical center there at Disney World and having the great guys down there from Reedy Creek take a look at you and get their professional opinion on it too. You know, I know some of the guys down there, and they're great. They're really, really good at what they do. And if they think, you know, you got to go over to Celebration Hospital, they're not going to do it just for fun. You know, it can be a serious thing.
Would dehydration, Pete, be the, you know, the first, you know, I don't want to say symptom, but the first step along those paths, the exhaustion and stroke?
Dehydration is the first step towards either one of those.
Okay.
Easiest way to see if you're dehydrated,
first
of all, you're going to be really, really thirsty. And I'm not trying to be like bathroom humor here, folks. If you start noticing your urine is getting darker and darker, that's because the waste that your body is producing is more and more concentrated. That means you're dehydrated. You need to get some more fluid in you. And by fluid, I don't mean stopping over at, you know, Club Cool and having a swig of Beverly. I'm talking about grab a bottle of water or two and really take a couple of minutes, relax for a few, drink some water.
Okay. So the sugar in the pop and the sugar in the sports drinks too, I understand, you know, actually can deplete your body of fluid even faster. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, things like Gatorade and that kind of stuff, it's there to help rehydrate you.
Okay.
But it's also, it has electrolytes in it. If you're dehydrated, you need to drink water first, then worry about replacing electrolytes. Electrolytes, if you're already dehydrated, can actually throw your entire balance in your body off, cause heart problems. It can be really bad news. If you have to be hydrated, you need to drink water to do it.
Okay. So let's say that we're already at the point where we know we've probably not drunk enough, and going back to your line, we went to the bathroom and our pee is probably pretty cloudy at this point, pretty dark, and we're on our way to heat exhaustion. Do you want to go over what some of the symptoms are for heat exhaustion and then moving into heat stroke? Do you have that?
Sure. So heat exhaustion is going to be classified. You're going to be sweating profusely. There's going to be bouts of possible dizziness and confusion, cramps, a severe headache, nausea at times, even up to vomiting.
Oh, the bad belly. Yeah.
And even, you know, when you get really far into heat exhaustion, people can pass out and faint.
Okay. So you're sweating and you're dizzy and you feel like you just don't feel good. Something's wrong. You can tell early because you're probably pretty miserable at this point,
right?
Correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, when you start getting towards heat stroke, you're not going to sweat anymore because your body just doesn't have anything to sweat out. You're going to be dry, red, hot to the touch. Your heart rate's going to be going up. Your breathing rate's going to go up. You're going to start being more confused, what they call an altered mental state, where, you know, things that you're saying aren't going to start making any sense. You know, you're going to have very erratic behavior. You know, if you have somebody in your party that's starting to act like that, you really need to get them to the medical center at whatever park you happen to be in.
Okay. So I know this is coming across as a serious show, and you know what? Honestly, it is serious because we've all been down there when the weather's been just brutal. And at least in my mindset, my goal is, hey, I'm at the vacation kingdom of the world. I've paid a lot of money to be here. I want to soak up every moment that I can. But it seems like in those minutes, you're losing like your grip on common sense and what's really important. And, you know, every minute that goes by when you're in this situation with, you know, dehydration mixed with heat exhaustion, moving on to heat stroke, I mean, you could talk about, I mean, potentially devastating, life-changing, you know, events in a person's body or to a family structure, that's for sure.
Hospitalization and up to death are possible with heat stroke.
Oh, man. So,
I don't know if you remember this a number of years back now. The Chicago Marathon. It's always held in October. Generally, it's a very good time to be running in Chicago at that point.
I do remember this, yes.
And it was unseasonably warm, and when I say unseasonably, I'm talking mid-80s, mid to upper 80s. People were not ready for it. The marathon literally got shut down and canceled midway because there were so many people going down with heat exhaustion and heat stroke that the EMS system that was on site and there to provide medical assistance for the event was overwhelmed. The Chicago Fire Department got involved. They then became overwhelmed. And I believe 6 or 8 suburban fire departments were also called in to help just to get people where they needed to be. So I mean, that was, 15,000 people? How many people are at Disney World at any given time?
Yeah, no doubt. And not everyone's certainly an athlete like they are in the marathon, but there are just the sheer number of people that are there and the sheer number of people that probably shouldn't even be out in weather like that, you know, makes it a far more dangerous situation. If memory serves me right, too, Big Guy, didn't someone pass away? Didn't someone die in that race?
Yep.
I thought someone died in that race.
Yeah, somebody did pass away, unfortunately. Okay. It wasn't believed that was heat-related, but I'm sure the heat didn't help either.
Well, let me pry a little bit with you then too, because I know that this personally affects you too, right? The you know, the ability, you know, to deal with the heat and manage the heat and whatnot. You know, I wanted to purposely have this show with you because I know you have, you know, life experience with this.
Yeah, my wife has a real big issue with the heat.
Okay.
Because of medication she takes, she doesn't tolerate heat well at all. So we really have to be extra careful with her and keep an eye on her. She's pretty good about realizing, hey, you know, I'm getting overheated, I gotta do something about it. But we all have to kind of keep an eye on her too. Sometimes she'll get caught up in stuff and she doesn't want to take a break, but we make her, so.
Yeah. Okay, so I thought what we'd do at this point is, you know, we've been able to pull some information from a bunch of different resources on the internet, and I know it seems like this show's been done before, but it could be the most valuable show you'll listen to from us if you could avoid, you know, going down the road of dehydration, exhaustion, or God forbid, heat stroke, because it's your vacation, and we know you've saved and budgeted a lot of money and time and effort in your life to actually be here, and, you know, we want you to come back. We want to go back many times, so we kind of put together a bunch of tips, and we're going to start, we try to make them chronological in the day. We're going to go just back and forth here of how to deal with Walt Disney World and Florida in general in the extreme heat. So you want to start us off, Pete? You want to give us your first tip of how to avoid and how to avoid going down the road of, you know, the medical professionals taking a look at you at the end of the day?
Yeah, I mean it starts the night before. Get some bottles of water, even if, you know, bring them in through Green Grocer or whatever you want to do. Buy them at the gift shop at the resort if you've got that kind of disposable income. And you know, every single resort room has a mini fridge in it now. Get them in the fridge, get them cold, bring water. That way you're not searching for water the next day.
That's a great tip. And in the DVC rooms too, Pete, that was one of my tips later on, is we went the night before and we froze those bottles of water And, you know, we have a four-year-old, and so we bring a stroller. So we just pile all those big frozen bottles of water in the bottom. And it'll take 3, 4, 5, 6 hours for them to thaw completely. But you can drink it within the first hour because, frankly, it's melting quickly. But it provides two things. You know, you can honestly put it in your back pocket, and it's going to keep you cool. And it's going to provide you cold water. So you're right. It starts the night before by preparing for that. We can't stress that enough, is how important it is to bring that refillable bottle of water. And don't throw it away. You can get water, you know, from the drinking fountain. Keep that bottle nearby. Coke is not going to help. Sprite will not help. Diet Coke will not help. You need water, and keep drinking it. You don't realize how much you sweat out during the day. When you think you've had enough water, drink more water. I can't stress that enough. My family's so sick of hearing me say that. But it's true. You forget about what you're doing. You just go from one attraction to the other. So that's a great way to start us off.
I just bought a new water bottle for myself for shift days. It's 40 ounces. I mean, it's the biggest water bottle I could find.
I'm going to get you a Bubba Keg. You know the Bubba Keg like they have at the gas station, the 64-ouncer?
Yeah. This one's actually, it's a double-walled stainless steel, vacuum-insulated, doesn't sweat, seals up real good, so... Okay. It wasn't cheap, but it was very much worth it. I've literally thrown ice in there and had ice in the bottle 12 hours later. So,
yeah, heck, you could even use something as simple as you know, your Tervis tumbler too. But yeah, I could appreciate that. That's money well spent, no doubt about it. Especially,
absolutely.
You know, so.
So what you got for us first, Chris? What's your first one?
Well, here's my tip, and it may not seem to be, well, it's related, but it doesn't have a direct impact on heat exhaustion, heat stroke, and dehydration. It's using sunblock in the morning. I'm a big supporter of sunblock. I work in a job where I'm outside quite a bit. And so in the morning, it's the next thing. As soon as I get out of the shower, you know, the deodorant goes on. But then sunblock covers my neck, my face, my arms, and my legs in the morning. And I just start off with a base layer. And, okay, yeah, I know I don't use Neutrogena or a really good quality product. I use Hawaiian Tropic, but I do use SPF 30, and I have an SPF 45 as well that I use. And so I feel like if I could start the day off with that base layer, and then I reapply several times during the day, it's got to be better than nothing else, because nothing would ruin your trip faster than turning that bright, nice red shade of lobster red and, you know, putting you out of commission for the next few days. So you got to make sure, use your sunblock. I don't care if it's an aerosol. I don't care if it's a stick for the face for the kids. If you want to use Hawaiian Tropic because you love the smell like me, and you use Hawaiian Tropic in the winter because you're odd like me, put sunblock on it. You can't apply too much of it. There's nothing like that nice red shade on human skin and that feeling of burn that accompanies it for the next 5 days of vacation. So I'm a big supporter of sunblock, and that's my number one tip, is make sure you apply it. You a sunblock IP?
No, but I should be.
You should be, huh?
Growing up, I never used it, and as I've gotten older, I've realized, you know, even last weekend, I got a little sunburn on my neck and my shoulders, and it was the first time in a long time, but yeah, it reminded me how uncomfortable that is. But
I work with a bunch of guys at my work that seems to have regular visits to the dermatologist to have parts of their face, necks, ears burned off. And so, you know, the sunblock is not only prevent the sunburn, obviously, it's the further development of melanoma and, you know, skin spots later on that can be cancerous and whatnot. So that's a driving force as well, too. So, you know, once you've seen it happen, and once you see guys come to work with bandages on their face because they've had them removed, that'll scare you straight, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So hit the sunblock hard in the morning and reapply every few hours. It's a great way to keep yourself going on that vacation. So what you got, big guy?
I would think this goes without saying, but dress appropriately, you know,
okay.
Lightweight clothing, light colors, you know, you can be goth at home if you want. You don't want to be dressed all in black when you're down there.
Did you just say you can be goth at home?
Yeah.
Nice.
You don't want to do that when you're on vacation down there. If you are dressed head to toe in black, I can almost guarantee you will expedite your trip to heat exhaustion.
Pete, what about all the Disney shirts that I bought that are black and dark blue? Leave them at home?
You know, those ones are the ones you wear around here, and honestly, light gray, you know, yellow, red. You want lighter colors. Try not to wear black, navy blue. I mean, if you look at the guys, one of my buddies down there, Jeff Armstrong, he's theme park EMT, I believe, on Twitter. Mm-hmm. But their uniforms down there are light blue, not dark blue. And it's because if those guys are suffering from heat exhaustion, they can't help you when you're suffering from heat exhaustion. Take that cue, wear the lighter colors. Even, you know, you'll notice the employees, their costumes, if they're going to be outside, their costumes are generally lighter colors.
Unless you're that poor bugger inside the actual animal costume.
Right, but those guys have a thing in their employment contract says they have to have breaks for so many minutes for every hour.
Okay.
So, and I believe some of those things even have fans in them.
Well, we hope they do. We hope they do, that's for sure. So, hey, let me, you know what, that's a great tip. Let me just jump on top of that, too, with two other ideas for that. Wear gym shoes and socks. I cannot tell you the number of people that I see at the parks wearing flip-flops and Crocs. And that's just maybe my own personal tip, and I have no scientific knowledge. But it would appear to me that if you're wearing a Croc or a flip-flop, there's going to be a lot of rubbing from your foot to the bottom of that shoe. So when you're sweating like an animal and your foot's rubbing, you're going to get a blister. And furthermore, you're going to have a painful back the rest of the day because it's not supporting you correctly. So wear a moisture-wicking sock, keep your feet dry, and wear a gym shoe designed for walking around the park. When I go to our local theme park here, which is Great America, I cannot tell you how many people are ill-prepared to walk 3, 4, 5, 6, and in Walt Disney World, 10 miles a day wearing nothing but the 99-cent dollar store flip-flops. You're going to get a blister, and you're going to be so miserable. So wear socks with moisture-wicking... I'm sorry, wear shoes with moisture-wicking socks. It will keep you going throughout the day, and you'll actually see the nighttime parade as opposed to being home and being miserable with it.
I can attest to that. I don't know how many of you noticed on Facebook Friday. I actually ended up walking the equivalent of a half marathon Friday. I regret my decision in attempting this, but I now have two blisters on the bottom of my left foot that are just absolutely horrible.
Well, why'd you do it, buddy? I saw the post and I gave you a good comment on it. Why'd you do it?
Because Wednesday I did 20,000 steps or 22,000 steps and it was like 11 miles. So I'm like, I was okay. I did good. I can bust out another 4,000 steps to hit that half marathon mark. Foolish, foolish mortal.
All right. Let me do one better though, too. So, you know, in full disclosure, actually, I actually run a golf course that for essentially the Western Chicagoland area. And we are huge supporters of wide-brimmed hats at our golf course. And we wear bucket caps. I wear a brand called the Aussie Chiller, but I've got Tilly hats, and I wear wide-brimmed hats all the time. And that's just for the sun exposure. I know people like to go out and put sun in their hair, or they like to go and you know, have their sunglasses on top of their head. But if you can keep the sun away from your ears, your nose, your eyes, the back of your neck, you are already one step ahead of everybody else. A baseball cap doesn't really cut it for sun protection. It'll keep the sun off your face to a certain point. But I'm a huge supporter of a wide-brimmed hat. Now, I know people are like, there is no way I'm ever wearing a wide-brimmed hat. But I tell you, I'm outside for a lot of the day, and I can definitely tell you my staff would prefer a staff hat that's a wide-brimmed hat as opposed to a baseball cap, and I get the best baseball caps from Titleist, but we would pick a wide-brimmed hat every time. So it's a boonie hat, a bucket cap, or go with the name brand. The Tilly hat is incredible, and it's got a lifetime guarantee provided that you, you know, you read the instruction manual. Yes, there is an instruction manual for this hat. But I use one that you can soak in water and it keeps cold for like 2 hours. So I don't see you as a wide-brimmed hat kind of guy, though, big guy. Are you?
No.
Would you if I got you one?
You know, it's possible.
Okay.
I'm not going to say it would never happen.
Yeah, obviously you're not wearing it at work, but if you were at Disney, if we went, you know, together as a big group, I might have to just buy a special one for you.
Yeah, and you know what? If it was the one you're talking about, I'd probably soak it in ice water, too.
I do it. I soak it in water, and it lasts for like 2 or 3 hours. It keeps you cool. It is. It's amazing. So, yeah, we're not getting paid by this company, but the brand's called Aussie Chiller. I love it. I love wearing mine, that's for sure. So I kind of jumped on yours, so let's go back to you.
So, let's say you found yourself feeling a little not as well as you feel like you should be. It's time to cool off. Where are you going to go? Well, easy. If you're at Magic Kingdom, you've got an entire street full of them. Go into the stores. They're all air-conditioned. Find one of the longer shows. Ellen's Energy Adventure is a great one to cool off in. You know, it's a longer show. You get to see a cool attraction, but more importantly, you get to cool off for a little while and get off your feet.
So anything inside, right, buddy?
Pretty much. I mean, there's some things that aren't exactly air-conditioned, but there's fans moving air around, so it does feel a little cooler. Generally, you want something air-conditioned, though. Air-conditioned, out of the sun.
Like the Tiki Room.
Tiki Room, like I said, the stores, some of the restaurants, or pretty much all the restaurants.
Yeah, so you're right. Like, forget the touring plans that you guys have. You know, I know you're, and by no means am I saying don't use your touring plans, but, you know, the touring plan is designed for optimal conditions and trying to get you to see the most attractions possible. In this situation, when you're down there in June, July, and August, like in my mind, vacation's like equal parts fun and like survival. And I know that sounds goofy, but it's true. When it's 95 and it's that humid as well too, you're depleting water so fast. You're depleting your patience that fast, and you're depleting like your fun almost as equally as fast. So you know what? Instead of worrying about hitting those five attractions in a row, all of which are outside, vary that touring plan up and tuck in so every other attraction is an indoor attraction. Or frankly, go inside to a restaurant every so often, every hour and a half, 2 hours. Sit there and have an iced tea, but get out of that heat. That's a great tip, Pete. You know, do the Hall of Presidents. I know people are like, well, you know, I really have only one day, but I tell you what, you want to stay for 12 hours, then you have to vary it up. If you want to stay for 6 hours and be miserable, stay outside and continue to pound away at those outside attractions, you know? So, good tip, though. I love it. It's good. So go on the indoor attractions, and ones that would have, like, a incredibly long indoor queue, too, as well, like Expedition Everest. That's another one, too. It's out of the sun, there are fans, and it's covered. So that would work just as well, too, I imagine, though it's not quite as cool as...
Pirates.
The Pirates, perfect.
It's cool, Pirates. It's damp. That's perfect. A great one to cool off with.
Yeah, it's a great idea. So, all right, so let's go even past that. So, I'm going at this. I got a couple kids, and my kids are cranky as can be. And this should be an obvious one. Don't be afraid to leave the park. Go back to your resort, get in the pool, sit in the air conditioning, and, you know, kill a few hours and come back when it's cooled, you know, cooled down a little bit. You know, in our mindset, we think, man, it just cost me over $100 per person to come to this park. I want to stay and suck up as much as possible. But you're miserable by 5 o'clock in the evening. And so at the time where the park really shines and the lights are on the brightest and everything just seems to be at its beautiful, you know, sunset point. I know it's 8:30 in the evening. Go back home and rest. Go back home and cool off in the pool. It's invaluable to just leave the park for a while. And, you know, you can kind of reevaluate your options, figure out your battle plan for the next part of the day. But I do see, and you probably have seen it too, where the families stay and the kids are just melting down at 2 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They're telling you they want to leave the park, even though they're not really telling you they want to leave the park. But listen to them. You know, get out of that park. Go back to the hotel. Hopefully it's one of the on-course properties and it's pretty close to get to. Have you? Are you an all-day kind of guy, Pete, or would you go back and cool off?
Being that I really don't go in the summer, it's not as pertinent for me to go back. Now, that being said, my wife has gone back to the room a couple of times, and cooled off in the air conditioning while I was, like, doing a specialty item. Like, when I went diving in the living seas, my wife doesn't scuba dive. She was going to watch through the glass, but she started not feeling well from the heat, so she decided she was going to go back to the room.
Okay.
And that's fine. You know, I was already underwater. I was plenty cool. but, you know, me personally, I can stay in the parks. I can tolerate the heat a little better than she can. But if it comes down to it, you know, if somebody in the party's not feeling well, you know, if they're old enough to go back by themselves, great. If not, you know, everybody take an hour or two, go back, hit up the pool, you know, take a nap in the air conditioning. It's not 2 hours out of the day. It's not going to break your entire stay.
Yeah, the park's open for at least 10 to 12 hours, no doubt.
Right.
So, okay. I got a good tip as far as middle-of-the-day heat. So, I know that everything in Disney's expensive, let's be honest. But we always make lunch a sit-down occasion. And, you know, dinner sometimes could be a quick-service location, but lunch for us is sit-down. Lunch usually occurs between, say, 1 and 2, 2:30. That's the perfect amount of time just to kind of let your body temperature, you know, regulate itself. You go, and I know you're going to look at me and say, Chris, did you really end up there? The last time we were down there in the summertime, we ended up at the Nine Dragons at Epcot. But you know what? It wasn't that crowded, which I don't know if they're ever that crowded. But in any case, it was the perfect amount of time for the family to kind of go and get our wits about us and say, okay, so what's the next step of the afternoon going to look like? So make lunch the sit-down, relaxing meal. That'll get you out of the heat, take a load off your feet. It does miracles in the middle of the day. So
yeah, no, that's a great idea. Not to mention, lunch is generally a little cheaper than dinner anyway.
Yeah, I was kind of getting there too. With five to eat, I'm looking for all the angles I can get my hands on. But it really does matter, honestly, in the middle of the day, get off your feet a little bit. So we like to make lunch the sit-down meal. So, what you got, buddy?
Well, my last one that I already had written down, at least, and this is something we do with my wife. You know, everybody's been to their local pharmacy or drugstore or whatever you happen to have. You know, around here, I go to Walgreens. You go down the aisles and buy the sports stuff, you know, buy the Ace Wraps and all that stuff. They have instant cold packs. They're lightweight. They're small. And you'd be surprised how much heat that can pull out of your body. You put it, you know, at a pulse point on the back of your neck. You know, those things, now granted, you don't want to put them directly on. You know, wrap them up in an extra t-shirt. Or, you know, find a paper towel or some napkins or something to put between your skin and the cold pack. But we always go into the park with at least two or three of them in the backpack.
That's a great tip. That's a great tip. So, Peter, are those like when you say instant cold pack, honestly, maybe I've just never looked for it before. Are those flexible or are those, I'm imagining like the thing you'd put in the freezer, or is it different?
Any of the kids play T-ball or anything?
No.
No.
Basketball and soccer. So it's
okay.
They're cold weather sports, you know,
yeah.
Or cool weather. So
this is essentially a bag with a chemical inside.
Okay.
And inside of that is another bag with a liquid chemical. When those, you twist it and the inner bag pops, those two chemicals combine and the reaction they give isn't, it gets cold instead of, you know, the exothermic reaction most people think of when chemicals mix together getting hot. These two chemicals actually get very cold when they touch each other.
Okay, so like when you get a sprain, what they give you in gym class.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. And is it like a little more sturdy? Because those always struck me as like a plastic material. Would they make a little sturdier one, I imagine?
There's plastic ones. There's ones that are kind of fabric-y, covered. But they're disposable. You know, you throw it in your bag. When you use it, and you're done, you know, you throw it in the garbage can. You don't have to worry about it leak in because you got to bring it back and dispose of it later or whatever, like anything like that.
Yeah, that's genius considering it's probably just a couple bucks a piece and it's really flexible, at least in its initial stage. Absolutely.
Oh, it doesn't actually get, it doesn't freeze. It won't get hard. It stays liquidous, so it can mold to, you know, your wrist, or you can lay it across the back of your neck. But great, they're a great thing to have. You know, and for nothing else, walking around the parks, you're doing 10, 11, 12 miles, somebody can turn an ankle real quick. And you've already got one sitting there, and it's not going to get all swollen on you.
That's a great tip. Great tip. So let me close with one last one of mine, and this one actually is more like preventative maintenance. And I know we talked a couple shows back about Splash Mountain, so I know there's a lot of knee-jerk reaction. It would say, hey, just go on a water ride and cool off, right? Or go to, you know, the circus, and you can play in the, you know, in the fountain, or have the kids play in the fountain. And the answer is yes, that's true. You can go in there. But like I mentioned earlier, there's nothing worse than walking around the park with wet socks and wet shoes. I can guarantee if that's day one, you're going to develop a blister. And if you've got 5 or 6 days to go, there's nothing more miserable than walking on vacation in a blister. So my tip is, when you leave for that morning for the park, even if you don't go on water rides, or even if you don't go in the fountain, pack an extra pair of socks. Bring an extra pair of socks with you, because you're going to be sweaty, and that sock is going to be completely filled with sweat within the first 5 or 6 hours. You change into a nice dry pair of socks, keeping your feet dry will keep the blisters away. And if nothing else was said today, if you're not walking around the park, I mean, you're not going anywhere. So keeping your feet happy, everything else, minus the water consumption, comes like second. Because if you can't keep your feet happy, none of the rest of the vacation plans matter, you know?
So, yeah, that's a great tip. One other quick one I just remembered. You can go to any quick service location in any of the parks and ask. They will give you a cup of ice water for free, no questions asked. They'll just hand it to you.
Yeah.
You might have to wait in line for a couple of minutes. Because, you know, that guy that's going to be paying $13 for his cheeseburger is going to be pretty ticked if you just cut him off. But, you know, if you ask for a cup of ice water, there is no charge for it.
Make a note of where those water machines are, too, as well, if you didn't want to wait in line. And, you know, Disney's liberal. They'll let you bring in your drink cup. They'll let you bring in, you know, your food as well, too. Don't get crazy. Don't get stupid. You know, make sure it's something that can help you during the day. But yeah, they'll let you bring it in, and a great tip though about the ice water, that's for sure, big guy. So, hey guys, the reason why we even do this show today, I know none of this is new, and everyone is listening to it and saying, yeah, we do that, but I cannot stress to you how serious this is. And, you know, I'm looking at some of my friends down in Florida right now. Stacy Pomeroy Nyman is down there right now, and you know, you look in and it looks so hot, and she's having so much fun. I love seeing her kids with the princess, you know, taking pictures and whatnot and getting their first haircut. But I cannot stress the importance of making sure you take care of yourself and stay well hydrated when you're down there. Florida heat in the summertime is unlike any heat you've ever felt. So if you live in the north, or if you're our buddy Michael and Christina and you live in Florida, they can attest to this. Take care of yourself. Listen to your body. Make sure you stay in the cool, in the shade. Drink plenty and plenty of water. So, anything else before we call it a show, Pete?
No, I'm pretty good. I mean, like I said, if you're going to go down there, make sure you stay hydrated. Enjoy yourself. A stay in the hospital is going to ruin your trip way worse than having to stop and go back to the resort for an hour to cool off.
Yeah, or perhaps even gearing back a day. You know, maybe we don't go to Epcot this time. Don't worry, you're gonna go back, folks. I can't say I promise, but you're gonna go back a second time.
Wait a minute,
so.
Why would you skip Epcot though?
I purposely threw it in just to see your reaction. So, yeah, I get you. Maybe you can skip the studios, right?
There's not much going on over there right now.
Yeah, you can skip that one. So, anyways, you know what? If you wanted to reach us, you know, you can contact us on our page on Facebook. It's the WDW Review Facebook page, so like it there. And then, you know, you can search by Pete and my name on Facebook. Feel free to contact either one of us or the WDW Review on Twitter. We do appreciate, you know, staying in contact with you guys. So, anything, any final thing, Pete, you want to send us home?
Yeah, if you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes, please. It really does help us. If you don't like the show, this has been Dining at Disney. And if you did like the show, this has been the Dub to Dub Review Podcast. We'll see everybody.
Good night.